I was just thinking the air conditioning committee, they did a good job tonight. They got that AC going good. I don't know if we're going to vote them back in, whoever they are. But it is cool in here tonight. So if you're a little cold, get up and do your little victory march or something, kind of get your blood to flowing. But it's certainly good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Good to have, if you're a visitor here tonight, we're so certainly glad you made a visit here at the United Pentecostal Church of Paris. We want to make you feel at home. And just enjoy yourself this evening as we worship the Lord together. Do want to get started tonight with a few announcements. Remember to pray for our pastor and his family as they on a little mini vacation this week, the last few days. Let's keep them in our prayers tonight that they'd have a good time and have safe travels back home. Let me see here. June wedding. We have a June wedding coming up. Jessica Martinez grew up right here at this church, and Blake Edwards. Their couple will be getting married in June, and there's a table set up for us to show our love and support for the soon-to-be married couple. So please do that if you can. Please just drop them a gift in their box out there, a card or a monetary gift. They will certainly appreciate it. Praise God. Also, Thursday, June 4th, we have the 903 Sunset Outreach event. How many likes outreach? How many's a little bit nervous about outreach? That's okay. Come on out and be a part of that. Get with, my goodness, my mind just went blank. Brother Coy, he's heading that up. Get with him. They need volunteers. You can sign up through the My Church app or also in the foyer around in the hall around that way past the table. Past the tables, there is a sign-up sheet on the wall there. You can certainly sign up there. They do need volunteers for that. Sunday, June the 14th, we're going to have a PM church cookout at the R.L. Minor Center from 5 to 7 p.m. There's no cost, but you need to RSVP by 6:10 or sign up on the church event or in the hall out there. There's going to be burgers, hot dogs, bounce house, and fellowship. Praise God. Praise God. That's the best part about it, the fellowship. All right. Let's stand tonight as we get ready to. I know it's Wednesday night and some of y'all are kind of, you know, just trying to get over whatever's happened so far this week. I'm with you on that. Me, myself, and I'm doing that myself. But this is the time to come into the house of the Lord and begin to worship Him and gain the strength that He has for us in this service. Let's go to the Lord in prayer for this service tonight and as we get ready for our worship team to come and lead us. Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for the opportunity to come into your house, Lord, and certainly into your presence. We're thankful, Lord, for that you brought us here, Lord, and what you're going to do in these next few moments of time. Lord, we pray that you would capture our attention, our thoughts. Oh, God, as we worship you together tonight, Lord, just strengthen us tonight together in Jesus' name. Y'all worship the Lord as they come. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name.
I go to the rock. I go to
Our ushers to come at this time. We're going to go ahead and receive evening tithes and offering. Praise God. Has God been good to you this week? Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, it's just the middle of the week. You still got the, if he hasn't been good to you, Brother Jeff, you still got a few more days. You got tonight, actually. Praise God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Father, we're thankful, Lord, for the opportunity to give into your
hallelujah,
kingdom.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we pray, Lord, for each family,
Jesus,
each home. Lord, we
Jesus.
Certainly pray for those on our prayer list tonight, God. We just lift them up to you tonight, Lord, that you would touch and heal those that are sick in our midst. Lord, we just pray that you would touch them tonight as we pray. In the mighty name of Jesus, y'all give the Lord tonight.
I thought number one would surely be me. I thought I could be all I wanted to be. I thought I trust in him, I'd be less than.
I'll stumble if I don't have him hold my hand. Praise God. I'll lose my way. But as long as I can reach out and grab a hold of his hand, praise God, I know I'll make it another day. Praise God. It's so good to be here tonight. It's so good to have Brother Jacob Kelso coming to minister the word to us tonight. We're thankful for him. I'm thankful he's my neighbor. He tells me, Brother Jerry, when I forget to put my trash out, he'll text me and say, it's trash day. It's trash day. It's good to have a good neighbor and a good friend. His family is certainly a blessing to us and to our church. But we're going to ask him to come at this time and minister the word. I know he's been preparing, praise God, for what God is going to give him to give us tonight. Let's just, everybody say God bless Brother Kelso tonight as he comes.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord, everybody. Man, it's so good to see everybody here on a Wednesday night. Amen. I'm sure there's probably other places we could be. Amen. But I'm thankful to be in the house of the Lord tonight with people that love to worship and praise the Almighty God. Amen. Do you love the Lord tonight? Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. You have your Bibles tonight. Amen. Go ahead and turn to the book of 2 Samuel. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter number 9. While you're there, I'm going to be reading a verse of scripture from Deuteronomy chapter number 7 and verse number 9. Deuteronomy 7 and 9, the Bible says, "Now therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generation." 2 Samuel chapter number 9 and beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says, "And David said, Is there yet any that is left in the house of Saul that I may shew him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, and king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he. And the king said, Is there not any Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may shew the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel in Lodabar. Verse number 5 says, the king David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, the Bible says he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely shew thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. I want to talk tonight. This particular passage of scripture has been on my heart for a few weeks. Amen. And it won't let me go. Amen. And so I want to give it to you tonight. Amen. I hope that if I'm not preaching to anybody tonight, I'm preaching to myself. Amen. I want to talk to you tonight, amen, about the unforgotten covenant. Amen. The unforgotten covenant. Why don't we lay our Bibles down for a moment and let's ask the Lord to have his way in this service tonight. Can we? Lord, we're so thankful to be here in your house tonight. We're so thankful, God, that we've already felt what we felt in this place. We pray, God, for your divine anointing, God, your divine direction upon this word tonight. God, I surrender my tongue to your authority, God. I surrender my tongue to your youth tonight, God. I pray, Lord, that you'd change us tonight before we leave this place, God. I pray, Lord, that you would have your way in this house. God, we give you all the praise and we give you all the thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Clap your hands unto the Lord tonight before you're seated. Amen. And you can be seated in the name of the Lord. Amen. Our text tonight comes from the book of 2 Samuel. And we're talking about David, and we're talking about a time of when David had found himself actually beginning to wear the crown as a king of Judah. And we find that he is sitting there in his domain, in his castle, and he's doing whatever that he seemed good to him. And something begins to wear on his mind, and he remembers his friendship with Jonathan, and he remembers the covenant that he and Jonathan made some time ago. Amen. And it is something that he has not forgotten. Amen. If you will find in 1 Samuel chapter number 20 and verse 14 through 15, the Bible recalls the covenant that David made with Jonathan, and it says, and thou shalt not only while yet I live shew me the kindness of the Lord that I die not. Verse 15 says, but also thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, everyone from the face of the earth. Amen. David was in his kingdom there, and he began to remember the covenant that he and Jonathan had made. Amen. There was some short time ago that Saul and his son Jonathan were there on the battlefield before David became king of Judah. And the Bible says that Saul and Jonathan were there on the battlefield with the Philistines. And the Bible said that the enemy began to prevail upon Saul and upon Jonathan. And both of them were smitten and killed. Amen. And the Bible says that word had gotten to Saul's house. And there was a nurse there. Amen. There was a young boy by the name of Mephibosheth. And this was the grandson of Saul, the son of Jonathan. And he was about 5 years old when this was taking place. And the Bible says that news came to the house of Saul that Mephibosheth, that his father and his grandfather had just lost their lives. And back in those days when the king was killed and when all of the heirs were destroyed, that the next one in line would come to the king's house, and he would immediately search out the king's family, and he would try to obliterate them and to wipe them off the face of the earth so that there would be no type of contest. There would be nothing else left for him to stand up to. The Bible says that the nurse, when she heard the words that Saul and Jonathan had lost their life, the Bible says that she scooped up Mephibosheth and she began to run with him. And in the process of her trying to save and preserve his life, the Bible says that she tripped and fell, and it caused Mephibosheth to become crippled in his feet. A little boy that was 5 years old that was used to running all over the place. I know I've got one that, amen, he's about eight, and there ain't nothing you can't keep him out of. Amen. You can't tell him not to do something, because I promise you he's going to go in the woods and do it. Amen. It kind of reminds me of myself. You know, sometimes I would worry, amen, but now you just look up, and I just tell him, I said, man, just please try to check in every now and then. He brings all kinds of bones and all kinds of stuff up back up to the house. Praise the Lord. Amen. But I can only imagine that this five-year-old boy, amen, that he had had his whole life ahead of him. Amen. He was the grandson of Saul, the king at that time, and so the nurse was trying her very best to preserve this heir to the throne, and so as she is in her instance, as she was trying to save his life, she suddenly caused him to become crippled. And now a child that once ran and once had a good time and once could do everything and had his whole life ahead of him now was crippled. The Bible says that they had moved, amen, once there was no repairing his disability. Amen. Now living with his disability, the Bible says that he began to move off to a place called Lodabar. When you look up the word Lodabar, Lodabar means a place of no pasture, a place of no word. It's a place of no communication. It is a place of nothing. Amen. Mephibosheth was beginning to live his life in a place where nothing existed. He was probably feeling the lowest of the very lowest. Amen. He was probably feeling defeated, and now I'll never amount to nothing. Amen. After some time, we find probably about 7.5 years passed, and now we find David is wearing the crown, and now he is the king over Judah. And his mind begins to drift back about the covenant that him and Jonathan had taken. And he began to remember, well, I wonder if there is anybody left in the house of Saul that I can show kindness to. So the Bible says that King David called, amen, he called for the servant, for somebody at Saul's house, and said, is there anybody left that I can show kindness to? There's a covenant that I had made with Jonathan, and I intend to keep that covenant. The Bible says that there was a man by the name of Ziba. He was a servant in the house of Saul, and he looked at David and said, yes, there is someone left. There is somebody that is left, but you won't find him at the house of Saul. Amen. He is living in a place called Lodabar. Amen. And David simply said, I want you, amen, I want you to go and I want you to find him. I want you to bring him to my palace, if you will. And so Ziba went and he retrieved Mephibosheth. And now Mephibosheth finds himself in the palace of the king, and now he's probably in his late teens, an early adult. Amen. He's got to have somebody to carry him into the presence of the king. And the Bible says that when Mephibosheth enters into the presence of King David, that he bows himself to the ground. Now, I want you to understand something. In my heart, I don't feel like that it was reverence. Amen. But I'm going to tell you that I felt that it was out of fear. Amen. Because I believe that Mephibosheth understood, amen, that what was supposed to happen to the families of the kings that were killed in battle. I can imagine that there was something going on in the mind of Mephibosheth that said, I'm about to lose my life. Amen. I'm about to be ended. Amen. But whenever David called out to him and said, you're going to be all right, he said, I want you to lift up your head and understand and recognize where you're at. Amen. Mephibosheth, I want you to understand that a long time ago, amen, I made a covenant with your father, amen, that I would show kindness to his house. Amen. Even long after he died, that covenant will still remain. The Bible says that as Mephibosheth, amen, as he began to stood there, 2 Samuel chapter number 9, and if you'll read in verse number 8, it says, and he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such as a dead dog as I am? Mephibosheth began to reference himself as a dead dog. Amen. Surely, David, I am nothing. Amen. I'm nothing but just a crippled dog. Amen. You see, people back then, when they had a disability, amen, it was looked upon like they were nothing. Amen. They were absolutely useless in the kingdom. Amen. Even as a king's son, if you had a disability, amen, you were completely useless. Amen. And so just being a part of a place called Lodabar, I can imagine the mental state of Mephibosheth. Amen. He remembered whenever he was 5 years old and said, man, I had everything going for me. I was a part of the king's family. I was royal. Amen. I had royal blood flowing through my veins. But then something happened and I became crippled, and now I'm nothing. Something begins to stand out in my mind with the story of Mephibosheth. You see, David had every right, amen, to end the life of Mephibosheth because he was the rightful king. But there was the old covenant that David remembered that he had made with Jonathan, amen, and said, I will restore this covenant, amen. I can't forget about this covenant. Amen. I can find myself thinking about how Mephibosheth began to think and how he began to live his life as a young adult. Amen. And I thought, you know what? That's exactly how people in the church sometimes, whenever we make our way into the house of God, how it feels like that we're a part of something great. We're a part of something holy. We're a part of the king's royalty. Amen. And then something happens along the way and we begin to fall and our spirit becomes crippled. Somewhere along the way, somebody drops us after we have tried to trust them. Amen. I can imagine, amen, as Mephibosheth's nurse, as she began to reach out with her arms and he began to trust her because these arms were going to carry me. These arms were going to protect me. These arms were supposed to take me to safety. But instead, look at the lifestyle that it has led to. Somewhere along the way, Mephibosheth began to realize, amen, that I will never be nothing. But David began to turn the tables. Amen. You see, because there was something different than the table that Mephibosheth had always sat at his whole life. You see, people had to help Mephibosheth around the house. They had to help him get dressed. They had to help him to the table. Amen. He probably walked funny. Amen. But there was something that was different at the king's table, because there was a robe that was stretched over the top of that king's table. And David looked at him and said, from now on, you're not going to be living in a place called Lodabar. He said, but I'm going to bring you, amen, from that old mentality of feeling like that you're nobody. And I'm going to remember my covenant, and I'm going to put you back in royalty. I'm going to restore all, amen, the land that your daddy had and that your granddaddy had. Amen. Why? Because of the covenant that I made with your father. Amen. Everything is going to be restored. You're going to be all right, because I'm going to put you in the king's house. As he began to make his way to the table of the king, amen, and David began to push him up to the table. You see, from now on, now Mephibosheth, when he looked across the table, he couldn't look down and see his disability anymore, but now he could see provisions that the king had made. I'm trying to tell somebody something tonight, amen, that it don't matter where you come from, it don't matter how messed up and debilitated that your spirit may feel like, whenever you come into the king's presence, God said, I'm going to remember my covenant, and I'm going to bring you from that old place called Lodabar, and I'm going to put you at my table, and I'm going to restore everything that belongs to you. Amen. In this day and in this hour, it feels, amen, like the enemy is trying to make us remember, amen, is trying to make us set up camp in a place called Lodabar, that we'll just forget about who we are and forget about where we came from and forget about the royalty that we stand for. But I've come to tell you tonight that there is a covenant that is not forgotten. And God said, when you come into my presence, when you get into the king's presence, I'm going to restore my covenant with you. I'm going to put my table before you, and you're going to sup with me, and I'm going to sup with you. And there's not going to be anything that you're going to not need. As long as you're in the king's house, you're not going to want for nothing. Mephibosheth's lifestyle began to transform. Amen. He began to look out the window, and he began to look at where he came from. Man, I don't know how to live this lifestyle. Amen. Everything's provided every morning. Can you imagine, amen, waking up every morning, amen, to a big old breakfast, praise God. Everything and anything you could possibly imagine, amen, everything was just right at your fingertips. All you had to do was ask for it. Amen. This was something very contrast to what he was used to. Amen. Waking up every day in silence, amen, in misery, in depression. But there's something when you make it into the king's presence. When you make it into the king's courts, all of that goes away. And God said, I want you to remember my covenant. Amen. I want you to forget about Lodabar. Forget about where you've been. Forget about the sins that you committed. Forget about what you was. Because when I put you in my house, I'm going to make you somebody. And I'm going to use you for my glory. The name Mephibosheth meant destroyer of shame. Here Mephibosheth, whenever he was younger, man, he was supposed to be the next in line. But little did he know, amen, what would happen in his life, what would transform, what would cause him, amen, to lose everything that he had. Amen, but later on, what would even bring him back into the king's palace and would restore everything that was taken away from him. Amen, church. I don't know about you, praise God, but I'm so thankful tonight for a God that does not forget about his covenant. It does not matter how many times that I fail him. It does not matter how many times that I turn my back on him and I try to set up camp in Lodabar. There is a king that's watching and that is sending his servants and said, I want you to go fetch my child from Lodabar. And when you find him, I want you to bring him back to my palace. Bring him back to my presence so that I can restore everything to him. We're living in a time, we're living in an era where people are constantly camped out and living in Lodabar. Every time that we walk into this house, it feels like, praise God, that we're living in Lodabar. Amen. I can't even lift my hands and worship because I'm nobody. Amen. If people only knew where I came from, if people only knew my past, if people only knew what I did yesterday, if people only knew, amen, what my lifestyle was just some time ago. Amen. I've come to tell somebody something tonight. Amen. That whenever you go down in the name of Jesus, all of that, amen, because what happens is you begin to be pushed up to the table at the king's house, and all of that becomes forgotten. And God said, I remember my covenant. Now I want you to remember my covenant. Amen. That all you got to do is ask and you shall receive. Revival is on the way. No, revival is in Lodabar. That's all right. Amen. We're going to go to Lodabar and we're going to find revival and we're going to bring it back to the king's house, because in the king's house is where it belongs. My worship, amen, my prayer life, everything is devastated. Everything is going down. Praise God. I'm fighting all kinds of hell. I'm fighting hell on every side. Amen. But I'm so thankful that there is a God in heaven. Amen. That looked down on me and said, I remember my covenant. Amen. And it don't matter how far he's went. It don't matter what happened. As long as I can get him in my presence, as long as I can get him in my kingdom, everything is going to be all right. I'm going to tell you what happens. The Bible says that after some time, Mephibosheth was living his best life in the king's house. He was living in the courts of David, amen, and under his kingship. And he had everything that he could possibly want. And man, everything was going well. And he was living life to his absolute fullest. You ever get that way in the house of God? Man, everything's going great. You just feel like, man, everything is, I can't get no higher than this, man. This is just great. Every service, you feel something great, and the pastor just preaches right to you, and just, man, this is going great. But I will tell you that the enemy will try to raise his nasty head. The Bible says that after some time of Mephibosheth living there at the palace of David, the Bible says that David had to leave and go away to a war, amen, and he began to fight, amen. And after a season, the Bible says that he returned. And on his way back to his palace, the Bible says that he was met in the middle of the road by his servant Ziba. And David looked at Ziba and said, where is Mephibosheth? He said, David, you ain't gonna believe this. But while you were gone, Mephibosheth got something in his head, and he's trying to take back over Saul's kingdom. And he's trying to push you out of the way and claim the throne for himself. The Bible says that David looked at Ziba and said, well, if that's the way it is, then I'll tell you what I'll do. He said, I'll split everything that I've given to Mephibosheth. I'll split it down the middle. Now, amen, he's not going to have everything that he once did. Amen. Now I'm going to give you half of everything that I gave Mephibosheth. The Bible says that, man, I could just imagine, boy, oh, Ziba thought he won. He thought he had it all together. But the Bible says that when David made his way into the palace, that he looked upon Mephibosheth, and there he looked like he has not been taken care of himself. He probably stank. He probably hadn't changed his clothes in a while. He probably hadn't had a haircut. He hadn't clipped his nails in a long time, and he probably smelled awful. And David walked up to him and said, "What is the matter with you?" And Mephibosheth's reply was, he said, "Well, while you was gone, I heard what you were doing. I heard that you were trying to push me out of my throne, and that how you were trying to take over the kingdom. But what's really going on in your life? Because something is going on. I can just tell by the way that you appear." The Bible says that Mephibosheth looked at David in his eyes, and he said, "That's okay." He said, "Why don't you just give Ziba everything? I don't want all of these material things. But David, I will tell you the one thing that I'm so happy of. Amen. He can have it all, because I'm just fine as long as I'm in the king's presence." He said, "David, I'm so glad that you made it home. I'm so glad that the king is here. I've come to tell somebody something tonight, that the enemy will try to discourage you in your walk with God and try to throw you off. But I'm here to tell you something tonight. I don't need all these worldly possessions. As long as I'm in the king's house, as long as I'm in the king's presence, that's all I need. God, as long as I'm in your presence, that's all I need." Stand with me tonight. The mushers told me not to take long. They said they're going to be eyeballing me. Amen. I feel like I got a target on me tonight. They're back here. I ain't even going to look at them. Praise God. No, they didn't tell me. Amen. This story of Mephibosheth, man, it began to stir my heart, because I thought, Lord, surely there are people in your house that once felt like that everything was going right, and suddenly, because they begin to trust the very arms that they begin to trust would keep them safe, suddenly brought them hurt and pain. But the king reminded Mephibosheth of his covenant. And he said, "I know what's supposed to happen. I know what is supposed to take place. I know that I'm supposed to seek out those that are left in the king's dynasty and wipe them out. But what you don't understand is I made a covenant a long time ago that I intend to keep." Church, I'm telling you something, man. I have been feeling this in my heart for some time, that this church has not seen the revival that is on the way. I said this church has not seen the revival that is on the way. I begin to think about Saul, amen, and his rise to kingship, and how the Bible says that his shoulders were above everyone else, and how he thought that he had it all together and everything was in line. And the Bible says that pride began to overtake him. Amen. And there is something that began to happen in that transformation of Saul's life. That suddenly God began to remove his hand from Saul. Not only did he protect Saul from losing his life at the moment that he took his hand off of him, but he said, "I'm going to allow you to live and show you that I'm going to take a little shepherd boy that's on the other side of a hill somewhere watching over sheep. And I'm going to put my hand on him. And I'm going to put him in your place. When my mind began to think about that, I thought, God, don't ever let me get into that position that I feel like, man, only my prayers work. Only my worship matters. And whenever I start to step out on my own two feet instead of following the leading of the Almighty God, what will begin to happen is God will begin to remove his hand and say, if you don't want to worship me, if you don't want to shout, if you don't want to worship and praise me every chance you get, I'll bring a drug addict off the street and I'll put my hand on him and I'll cause him to worship me like never before. And not only that, but I'm going to allow you to watch. I'm going to let you watch me as I take him from a life of drug addiction. As you watch me take him from a place called Lodabar and thinking that he was absolutely nothing. And I'm going to put him in my presence and I'm going to make him something out of nothing. Church, I don't know about you, but every opportunity that I get, every chance that I can get when these doors are open, amen, somebody else can sit down on the pew beside me. But as long as there's breath in my lungs, I want to give him praise. Why? Because he remembered the covenant. God didn't leave me in a place called Lodabar. God didn't leave me in my nothingness. Amen. But God brought me into his presence. I feel like that there's some people in this place tonight that God is reaching. Maybe they ain't even in this house yet. But I believe this in the Holy Ghost, that God is using you to reach into that little place called Lodabar. There's some people that have been thinking, the man, I'll never amount to anything in the presence of God. Boy, I feel this in the Holy Ghost. I'll never amount to anything in his presence. Maybe one time, a long time ago in my younger years, maybe there was a chance then. God said, if you only knew the covenant that I made. God is bringing his disciples. God is bringing you and I. And he's calling us to a place called Lodabar. Amen. To this world. And he's trying to let us reach those and encourage them and say, listen, God's trying to bring you from a place called nowhere. And he's trying to restore you in his palace. If you can just make it into his presence, if you can just make it into the castle, if you can make it just before the king, just listen to what he has to say. Mephibosheth looked at David and said, why would you even look down upon a dog like me? David said, where have I heard that before? I remember hearing that on the field. There was an old giant called Goliath. And he began to talk about how he was a dog. Amen, Mephibosheth, you need to stop listening to the voice of the enemy. I'm trying to tell you about the covenant that I made with your father a long time ago. Quit letting the enemy whisper in your ear and try to tell you that you're nobody and nothing. When God said that I'm going to call you from a place called nowhere, I'm going to put my name on you. I'm going to put my power in you. And there is nothing. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church of the living God. I feel like there's going to be some people, amen, in this end time revival, praise God. I believe that we're living in it right now. Amen. There's going to be some people that are going to make their way into this house. And some of you are going to look back and say, man, I never would have thought it. But can I tell you something? That's exactly how the Almighty God works. When he looks at somebody and said, I told you, I'm going to reach into that place called nowhere. And I'm going to bring them into my palace. All across this building right now, I wonder if we could just begin to lift our hands all across this place. I want you to remember somebody that used to sit in this place. Somebody that used to go to this house of God. Somebody that maybe God has put on your heart. And I want you to begin to call out their name. I'm going to tell you something, church. God's about to bring some folks back from Lodabar into his palace, into his presence. And when they get here, amen, we don't need to look about their failures. It don't matter how crippled they are. It don't matter how many mistakes they made. It don't matter how they smell. It don't matter how they look, because the covenant said that God was going to restore. God, make me more. Make me more like Mephibosheth. And when he said, David, I don't have to have any of these worldly possessions as long as I'm in the presence of the king. I'm going to be all right. Church, I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful tonight that I know a God that reached down to where I was and said, it don't matter. Because a long time ago, I took every one of those sins. I took everything you've been through, amen, and I nailed it on a cross called Calvary. I've already paid the price. All you've got to do is come back to my house. I begin to think about the prodigal son as he made his way down the road, and the father stood there in the road waiting on him to arrive. And when he arrived, the father never asked, where have you been? What have you been doing? But instead, the father said, go get the fatted calf. Go get my ring. Go get my fancy coat and put it on him. Church, I don't know about you, but I'm here to tell you, amen, whenever you make it into the king's presence, when you come back to the father's house, it don't matter where you've been. I'm so thankful tonight that we serve a king that has never forgotten his covenant. No matter where we've been, no matter how many times we fail him, I'm so glad that we can enter again into his presence every chance we get and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I need to be restored one more time. God, I don't want you to forget about that covenant, because I need to be restored once again. God said, that's all right. I'm gonna pull you up to the table. I'm going to pull you up to the table of my provisions. Do you love the Lord tonight? Amen. Clap your hands to the Lord tonight if you love him. I'm so thankful that we serve a God that never forgets his covenant. I don't know about you, but I miss my pastor tonight, but I'm glad that he was able to get away. I was telling my wife the other night, I said, man, there ain't a time that I have sat under his word and he has not preached to my soul. I'm so thankful for a man of God with a sensitivity to the heart of God. Amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Don't forget about all of our announcements tonight, amen. Don't forget about those on our prayer list, amen. Look around tonight, see those that are not here, amen. Why don't we all bow our head tonight as we dismiss in prayer. Lord, we're so thankful, God, for your word that we've heard here tonight. God, I'm so thankful for your presence that I've felt here in this house tonight. God, we pray, Lord, that you keep your hand upon our pastor, God, his family, God, bring them safely back, Lord. Those that are not here, I pray that you keep your hand of protection upon those, God. I pray, Lord, that you'd bring us all back here at your safely appointed time, God. We ask you all of this in your precious name, in Jesus' name. Shake somebody's hand, tell them you love them. Amen. Greet them. You're dismissed in the name of Jesus.